This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who aspire to be. If you're a real estate, mortgage, or financial professional, this is the place for you. We'll explore innovative investment analysis, sales, marketing, and income-generating strategies for the most historically proven wealth creator, income property. Learn from the experts as they show you how to build a better business and a better life.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who desire to be. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about increasing your income, your productivity, and just generally having a better life while serving your clients better with America's most historically proven asset class, income property. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds. Hey, it's my pleasure to welcome Jill DeWitt and Steve Butala. They are the principals at the Land Academy and host of the Land Academy contest. Was it Will Rogers that said, buy land, they're not making any more of that? I could be misquoting. I don't know who said it. But anyway, welcome, guys. I'm anxious to hear about what you do and talk to the audience about that as well. Welcome. How are you?
Thank you, great, Jason.
Thank you so much.
Happy to be here.
It's an honor. Honored to be on the show.
Yeah, good to have you. So tell us a little bit about, you know, why land? And I got to just preface this with saying that until recently, I've really never been a fan of vacant land. You know, like so many investors, I like cash flowing properties. I interviewed someone on my show, another land guy recently, and he kind of moved the needle quite a bit. I must admit, I was pretty interested, and I have a feeling you're going to move it even more. You know, next time I get a tenant calling me saying, you know, something is broken, I'm going to think, gosh, if I owned land, I wouldn't have any tenants. I know the model is different. It's a different strategy. So, you know, why don't you tell us about it?
I'm happy to. You know, this is probably the top one, two, or three questions that I've gotten for the last 15 years since I've been in this business. And it's a very common misconception about rural vacant land that it doesn't cash flow or that it's unwanted, you know, or that there's no real market for it. In fact, I think it's quite the opposite. Vacant land is a very, very attractive asset type to retail customers who just want to kind of get away from it all. So, and it's very simple to vacant land is incredibly inexpensive to purchase because there's a general lack of financing that's available for it. So sellers are very, because there's no financing associated with land, it's very easy to negotiate a very good price, if you know what I mean.
Right, right. Okay, so it's not really a credit-based asset. When you buy it, you pay cash, but when you sell it, you turn it into a credit-based asset. And, you know, the old saying is you can either have price or terms, but you can't have both. So that's the strategy to increase the value is turn it into a credit-based asset, right?
Yeah, for the most part, it's a little bit ironic, but people who are very seasoned real estate investors like you seem to have that opinion, and I guess it's been accumulated over years, that vacant land doesn't cash flow. And actually, we purchase a ton of it, and we sell it on terms for years and years and years. So we have made it cash flow, and it's been a great niche choice for us for, I don't know, more than 15 years, I guess, Jill, right?
Mm-hmm. We actually tested other models like doing renovations and flips. And I'll tell you, Jason, every time we stood there scratching our heads going, gosh, how much time we spent on this? I could have made so much more just flipping some land. And, you know, it's easy and it's fun and very profitable.
Yeah, interesting, interesting. Okay, so tell us about your typical deal. Like, I you know, there may not be a typical deal, but first of all, how many transactions have you done in the world of land?
I've completed 15,000, well, almost 16,000 transactions now since 1999.
Folks, listeners, I have to apologize. We're talking to a couple of amateurs here. They haven't they haven't even done their first deal. Yeah. No, that's a little bit of experience for you, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. So that's a lot of deals. Tell us about the typical deal. What's it look like?
The typical transaction we complete is we purchase a piece of property for cash that's anywhere between 5 and 40 acres, usually west of the Mississippi, for anywhere between, I don't know, $500 to about $4,000 to $5,000, depending on the quality of the property. And that's not the down payment. That's the actual total out, you know, cash purchase for the property.
Say the price again.
Between $500 and about $5,000.
Okay, so between $500 and $5,000 total price for the land, okay, west of the Mississippi, and between, what do you say, 5 and 40 acres?
Exactly.
Okay, good. Okay, go ahead.
That's typical. I mean, there's a lot of different variations, but that's typical. And then we sell the property. We make sure that we can sell it. If it's a cash sale, we look at the asset and we decide whether, before we buy it, whether this is going to be a cash transaction that we're going to sell, or it's, we call it a terms transaction where we collect payments. And depending on the quality of the asset, we either double or triple our money, cash money, when we sell it. Or if it's on terms, there's no real typical deal there, but it ends up being an income stream for us for a minimum of 9 years and a maximum of, let's say, about 17 years for and $100 or $200 payment per month.
So you've got a big, like, you know, you're really in the loan servicing business, if you will. The land is sort of this underlying thing, but, you know, are you servicing all those loans yourself, or are you using a servicing company? Or
yes.
Tell us about that.
We've gone back and forth on that over the years, but yes, we do now service all of them.
Uh-huh. And what software do you use to do that?
We use Mort Care.
Mort Care, like mortgage,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay, so you sell these properties. So I guess, do you want to tell us more about the typical deal? Then I'll ask questions, or does that cover it?
That covers our the typical transaction. I don't know, Jill, do you have anything to add? Jill's more of on the front lines from the sales standpoint than I am these days. And I, you know, things change a little bit. So what do you think, Jill?
Yeah.
What's the typical, what is our typical deal?
Well, no, that was perfect. But I mean, sometimes right now I'm dealing with a couple, Jason, I have one sweet little old lady in Texas who's got two 53-acre properties and one 106-acre properties I'm about to pick up. So it's all over the place. And sometimes I have great little info lots, even in Southern California, that I'll pick up, you know, if the price is right and whatever that's going on, I'll grab them. And a lot of them, I'll keep a healthy cash balance, so I have it for acquisitions. So a lot of them, I'm just quickly doubling, tripling my money and getting out. And a lot of the other ones, you know, the really good, nice ones, those are the ones that will, you know, like we'll sell them on terms and have a down payment and do payments for years, that kind of a thing. So I do a lot of both.
Okay. So what type of land is this? What is the zoning of this land?
That's such a great question, because the very few competitors that we have, I really think, missed the mark on this. It's all over the map. Zoning. For us, you know, we send a tremendous, we generate these transactions or our acquisition deal flow largely through direct mail. And zoning or property use is something that I take a real good careful look at before we handle all the data to send the mail out. So there isn't, except for like industrial and some really special use type property like a cemetery or something really offbeat like that, we stick to single family residential, vacant land, or any type of, you know, except for, let's put it, recreational, sure. Mm-hmm. Except for industrial, we really kind of stay away from that for a lot of reasons.
And you don't like that because of, I assume, the environmental liability concern, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. So a lot of land people are out there, you know, they're buying and selling ranch, you know, is ranch land an actual zone? Is that a zoning, are things defined in the zoning laws as this is ranch land, or do they just call it that?
It's a great question. And it really varies state by state. Here in Arizona, we're in Scottsdale, Arizona. Ranch is a use for land. I'm not sure if it's an actual zoning designation, but we see ranchland as a use very often. And I also see really low associated tax assessments on that type of property. So we've purchased a lot of ranch land over the years.
Okay. So, you know, a lot of this land is just in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's really out there. You know, some of the land deals I've looked at, they are in the middle of nowhere. I don't know what people would actually use them for. Some of them don't even have access. They're landlocked parcels. And I don't know what the easement structure is or anything like that. I mean, should I even be concerned about this stuff? Or are the deals sort of so cheap that you just buy them and sell them and don't agonize over them like I would over a larger deal?
Oh, I'm raising my hand on this one.
Jason, you sound like a very logical person who might want to purchase our education program.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, I'm experienced, and with experience comes caution.
Jill, go ahead.
It's so interesting. I, a long time ago, thought that myself, Jason, and I gave up trying to figure it out. What I think is really out there and crazy, and gosh, you can only get to it with a four-wheel drive, I can't tell you the people that love it. You know, is it because tiny homes are getting cooler, or it's, you know, and be off the grid, or the whole, you know, there's some interesting prepper groups growing.
Yeah, collapse of civilization, bug out property, yeah. You know, yeah, people, blah, blah, blah.
I know.
Remember, I host a survival show too, the Holistic Survival Show. So I've talked to a lot of these people. Some of them are pretty out there.
Right.
They love this. And that's the thing. I tell people, I have both things. I have people calling me and I tell them, all right, have a GPS and a four-wheel drive to find it. And they're like, yay, great. No one's going to bother me. I'm like, no.
Right, well, that's interesting perspective. Yeah.
So
does each, I'm just wondering, you know, does every piece of land need to have an easement providing access to it? I would assume so. Like, or are there parcels of land, you know, and again, this is not my world. I don't deal in vacant land. Are there parcels of land that really are landlocked and the only way you can legally go to your land is with a helicopter or an airplane?
Yeah, so...
Or you're trespassing, you know?
These are very good questions. So it varies state by state and in some cases by each municipality, governing municipality. But there's physical access and legal access. And by law, I know in Arizona, and I'm pretty sure in California, you can't restrict access to a property. The property owners around it can't restrict it. But I'll tell you, in the thousands and thousands of deals that we've done, this specific topic has never come up after someone has purchased it.
You gotta be kidding me. No, that's amazing. And I'm guessing that this is why it's never come up. I mean, with your level of experience, that is mind blowing that question has never been asked. And I'm guessing the reason is they never actually use the land.
That could be.
You know, they just buy it and they never even go visit it. They don't, you know, it just kind of just sits there. Is that what happens?
We've got stories and pictures of you know, how happy our customers are with the use of their land. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, I haven't really checked the statistic, but I'm sure that that's the case for a certain percentage of it. Yeah. That it just does, it gets unused. So.
Okay. So is it fair to say then that this whole question of easements, you don't even check into that when you buy something, right? You just buy it.
We absolutely do. We value that. We pass on numerous properties because of access issues, specifically in southeastern California. For some reason, I don't know what happened or what the story was in the 60s and 70s when a lot of it got subdivided, but access was not on their radar. So, like, if it's on the side of a mountain, you know, there's some extreme situations that we won't touch that. But in general, the better access, physical access that it, you know, we teach what's called the four A's. For us to buy property, and this is what we talk about with our members all the time, it has to have some version of the four A's, and one of them is access. Access, affordability, attribute, and, John, what's the fourth one?
Acreage.
More acreage is better. Mm-hmm. So access is very, very important, and we generally steer away from non-physical access property.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so go ahead.
I was going to say, and here's the thing, Jason. We have so many, I have so many sellers to choose from. It's not even funny. I mean, you would crack up if you could see my acquisition list of things I need to go through. I can't get to them fast enough. So if I ever have any issues, and I'm glad that you're bringing that up because it's a near and dear to our hearts too.
I really am too.
We would never, ever touch anything that someone cannot legally get to. There's a lot of things like in Arizona after, it's like 8 or 9 years. If I've been driving through your backyard, Jason, for 8 or 9 years, I automatically have access. You know, there's a lot of things like that. And we do take that very seriously. And that's something that I think why we have a lot of repeat buyers over the number of years we've been doing this is because there will be access. There will be no issues. So we don't buy it if there's not.
Tell us about how you acquire these properties. When we were talking a little bit off air, you said that you do a lot of direct mail and you mail offers to people, an offer to buy, rather than mailing the good old yellow postcard with black print saying, I'll buy your land. You know, we've all seen that one. And that's like a trade, you know, it's just a common practice. But you actually send them an offer, the owner of that land, huh?
Yeah, through a tremendous number of trial and error and failures, we have come up with what I think is a very effective way to purchase property from people who own this asset type. We send them an offer. It's a two-page, one-cover letter, and the back sheet is kind of a purchase agreement, and it says, we'd like to buy your property for X. We've done a little bit of research on it. If you'd like to sell it to us, either call this number or sell or sign here. And we'd like to hear from you within X amount of time. And it gets a tremendous response. I've tried the postcard way. I've tried a lot of different ways. And those other ways for us generated a lot of ineffective conversation, let's say. But the actual offering, for whatever reason, seems to strike home with many, many people.
Your offer, how do you compose an offer? I mean, I'm sure it's not legally binding on you. You have a way out, you know, so-called weasel clauses,
right,
if you will. You know, that's just smart, of course, because you don't know what you're getting. You probably put a price on it. Otherwise, the person's not going to call you back. They're not going to be interested, right, without a number.
That's right. And again, it varies depending on the area that you're in or the area that we send the mail out in. But for us, it's a multiple of, I look at two things. I look up their assessed value, and that's difference. It varies different by area. And then I take a look at that, and then I took a look at a multiple of the acreage size from a dollar amount. So we generally try not to buy property in areas where we focus for more than $100 an acre. And in fact, very, very often it's much, much less than that. So it's not that scientific. It's a price per acre. The people that we do business with are really interested in just getting rid of their property.
Right, right. Now, how do you know they're interested? Where do you get the leads? I mean, you're not just blindly mailing to every vacant landowner, are you? Or maybe you are. Or are you looking at people who are behind on their taxes? Or what's the criteria by which you mail?
These are great questions, Jason. I'm really, thank you for having us on the show. The criteria that I look at, to answer your question about taxes, we don't just look at that. What's great about our product type is that there's no mortgage because, as you know, traditional lenders only look at improved property. So there's an incredible amount of negotiation. So that if you send, we have member after member after member in our group who have a tremendous amount of success sending a ton of letters in one specific area of a county that they've identified as potentially successful, and they send it to everybody. It can't have any improvements on it. It has to be, the land use has to be, like we talked about earlier, within a certain specific parameter, and then that's about it. So you certainly don't ever, and assessed value comes in here to play in a very large way. You might have, let's say you take a look at all the 5-acre properties in XYZ County, Arizona. You never want to send an offer out for $1,000 for a 5-acre property that has an assessed value over, let's say, $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000. You're just going to upset everybody. So you want to kind of go for that lower assessed value property, see what comes back, and then review them as acquisitions, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. How long does it take you to review a property?
About 20 minutes, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the nice thing about something that's vacant land. It's pretty simple, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's to pass our initial test. It's really a run through on Google Earth Pro. You can really get 80% of the information that you need. That's the non-title information, but what do I want to buy it information from there?
So there's a pro version of Google Earth. What does that do?
Yeah, and it's now it's free. It just changed it about a year ago. Mm-hmm. You can literally type in the APN in the pro version of Google Earth, and it'll find the property for you if the counties are participating, but most of them are.
Wow, yeah, good stuff. Okay. Just give us a little overview of that due diligence really quickly, you know, before you acquire. I mean, first you've got to decide what to make the offer. Like I envisioned it when you first told me that off air is that you have some software that just spits out offers all day and, you know, mails them to people. But I guess it's not really that simple. You actually have to think about the offer, right? That takes a human to do that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's me.
Okay. All right. So you actually decide, you look at these, you've got the lead of the land, you know, that you want to mail to. You know who the owner is because you have databases and so forth. You think about what you want to offer them. You send them the offer out. How long does it take to decide what to put in the offer and to write that up?
Well, if you envision a very, very large spreadsheet or a database, it doesn't take long because it's very mechanical. So I'll set up a parameter in a database that says we're willing to pay. Hey, it'll be a parameter like this. If we want to send letters to everybody who owns 5-acre property in XYZ County and the assessed value is less than, I'm just throwing out a number, $6,000. Everybody's going to get an offer for $1,000. And then there's, you know, I'm oversimplifying it, but it's kind of a if-then statement algorithm situation. And then, and, you know, so it's called a mail merge. So it takes just as much work for me to send out 30 letters as it does 30,000 letters.
Wow, that's incredible. It really is. Okay, so you mail this out, you get the interest back. What do? They call you, or do you have a system that handles that through a website or something?
Jill, go ahead.
They call me.
Okay, they call Jill. So Jill's getting calls all day. You know, yes. Oh, I'm at the coffee shop. Do you want to buy my land? Yes, and I'll have a latte.
That's pretty much it. It's the coolest thing. So, yeah, I field calls all day long, and then I sit down and review them and then pick the ones that I really want to make offers, you know, really want to come back and really talk about.
Or solidify offers on, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Okay, and then, so what are you typically, like, you know, the value of the land versus the price you're actually willing to pay and end up paying? Tell us what the delta is there. I mean, are you're really getting these under market, aren't you?
If under market means what retail value is or wholesale, yes, that's part of what I do. I value the property or the value of the offers that go out, the numbers. If we can't triple our money overnight without really blinking, then we don't buy the property.
Okay. Wow. That's phenomenal. What else do we need to talk about in terms of acquisitions? Because I want to ask you about the other side of the deal, selling the property.
No, I think you covered it really well, actually. Thank you.
Okay, good. Okay, so now we got to sell the property. What do you do?
As far as sales go, I think our sales operation is a little more typical or a little closer in nature to everybody else's sales operation. We put it on our website. We throw it out on a couple. There's a couple of very niche websites that we use that generates a ton of traffic for us. Land and Farm is one. Landandfarm.com, Landwatch.com, and then we put it in Zillow and Trulia, like everybody else. And you know, we just see what kind of traffic comes back. Jill has done a fantastic job over the last several years in building up just an arsenal of what we call A-list property buyers. Mm-hmm. It's made up of properties that we've sold to people over the years. It's made up of all types of different properties, people that find us, you know. Mm-hmm. So she sends out, Jill, stop me anytime here, but she sends out a list pretty often to people who have expressed interest over the years in getting that list. And we don't keep property for very long at all.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay. So you've got your buyer list. Now, someone entering this business, though, they're not going to have a buyer list. You might be able to teach them how to acquire the properties, but what are they going to do to sell them if they're a newbie coming into this?
That's an excellent question again. And this is the first thing that I ask people to do is, let's say somebody purchases a 5-acre property or a 10-acre property in northern Arizona. I ask them to go on websites like LandWatch and Land and Farm and take a look at all the other people that own properties in that area. And it's very easy to do from a data standpoint, and this is what we teach. And 9 times out of 10, people who own property that's already in the area will at the prices where we sell it, they've already done the homework on the area and they like the area, they'll purchase it. So it's very easy for a new person under our direction to build a good list up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Good stuff. And what kind of terms do you sell them on? You pay cash for the property, and then you sell them on terms. And so you create this giant cash flow for yourself. Is it a land contract? Is it a typical mortgage? And, you know, what's the loan to value ratio? What's the interest rate, et cetera?
Great questions. It's a note. We generate, there's a lot of different, around the country, it's called a lot of different things, but it's a note. So we agree to, loan money against this asset for X amount of time. And we run the numbers on it the way you would run it on any type of income stream. So we generally charge between 2 and 8%. I don't think, Jill, I've ever seen anything higher than 8%. Have you?
Correct. No.
And it's usually around between $100 to $200 down, and $100 to $200, maybe larger acreage property, $250 a month. And then the payment, the term is dictated then based on the price. So on a $1,000 or $2,000 asset, we'll probably sell it for maybe $10,000 or $12,000, maybe more.
And 2%, so you give them a really good interest rate. So that's attractive to that buyer, huh?
It really is. And we don't go through credit checks or any of that. We all through these transactions, I'll tell you, Jason, on the buy side and the sell side, which is why I'm still in this business and love it so much, everybody's constantly thanking us. You know, we're the properties that we sell like this, we're selling them to people who just for whatever reason can't get involved in other types of real estate, and they love it. And then I think on the buy side, we're solving a lot of problems. I have a bulletin board in our office of handwritten thank you notes that people have just sent us over the years. Thank you for cashing me out of this property. I thought I wasn't going to get anything, and you know, people seem to appreciate it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Good stuff. Well, give out your website, if you would. Tell people where they can find out more, and tell them about, you know, what you offer and how you help people in this business.
Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, okay. It's landacademy.com is our main website where you can go find out more about us or download the free ebook. It has our whole business model in there, a lot of our backstory. Then you can go to landstay.com, check out my property list, see our land company that's here. That's one of the things that about us is we are still, you know, in the business, in the trenches, right with our members and doing deals, you know, right alongside of them. And then we also have successplant.com, which is our online community where everybody can kind of talk about, you know, share success stories, you know, talk about the business, learn more, all kinds of great things there.
Okay, good. And any closing thoughts that you want to share with our listeners?
Well, no, I mean, I want to just thank you so much, Jason. I really appreciate you having us on your show. I'm a listener of a couple of your podcasts, and I really appreciate it. It's an honor.
Oh, well, good. Well, thank you so much. And we appreciate you sharing so generously with all our listeners. That was a great show, and happy investing to you guys and listeners. Check them out.
You know, sometimes I think of Jason Hartman as a walking encyclopedia on the subject of creating wealth.
Well, you're probably not far off from the truth, Penny, because Jason actually has a 3-book set on creating wealth that comes with 60 digital download audios.
Yes, Jason has that unique ability to make you understand investing the way it should be. It's a world where anything less than 26% annual return is disappointing.
I love how he actually shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I also like how he teaches you to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
and the entire set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered at a savings of $94.
That's right. And to get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series, complete with over 60 hours of audio and 3 books, just go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month, just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.